Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to see your faces here this morning at the church. You made it. I made it. But, you know, God's blessings will be with us as we are getting together this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to worship our Lord from the bottom of our hearts. And also those who are joining our service through internet, TV and radio, they will receive the same blessings we are receiving today here. Amen? Amen. So we have, you know, special announcements. Hillary, about Kids Hope.
Good morning. As you may have seen on the slide, between 10 and 11, between services, you are welcome to join me in P3, which is right out that door, if you want to know more about Kids Hope. Even if you're not really interested in being a volunteer, but you want to know about this initiative that the church is taking, please feel free to join me. Thank you.
And also, we have a mission moment.
Good morning. Go Lions. Born and raised. We've been through a lot, haven't we? Thank you for the chance just to give a quick update on a couple of ministries here. Usually when I lay down at night, I fall asleep right away, which I finally realized isn't a good time to pray because I fall asleep so quickly. But last night I didn't, because I knew I was going to share a mission moment this morning. And there's a lot to share about the ministries that are happening within this church. But I want to concentrate on two, and one being community assistance. And when we talk about community assistance, that's the ministry that we have for people who walk through our doors during the workday, during the business hours, and need a hand. And it could be a hand that they need with rent, or a consumer's bill, or their water's been shut off, or they're having a hard time getting groceries for the family for the week. That's what we're talking about when we talk about community assistance. We've learned a lot about our neighbors right here in this direct area surrounding our church through community assistance. It's a vibrant ministry. It's up and running, not this past Friday, but the one before in the e-blast. Hopefully you've taken a peek. There's a pie chart, a pie graph, and then an infographic that kind of shares what's happened with community assistance in Q4, or in other words, the fourth quarter of the year. Please expect to see one of those at the end of each quarter. And the pie chart and the pie graph is important. Statistics and data is important. But what our team wants you to understand is what's the most important are the people behind those numbers. We've learned a lot. We've been blessed. We know the needs are significant, particularly in the area of affordable housing in this county. We serve Midland County, not just the city, but the majority of our folks come from within the city. And again, many come from within the direct area of this building. We have lots of carryover between community assistance and Sunday Friendship Lunch. For a while this summer, we had some folks who were sleeping underneath this overhang right over here. It's safe, it's protected, it's sheltered, and it's a pretty quiet little street. You can go unnoticed pretty easily. And that was a blessing that they found that space, but also not so much because we're not a public building. So to move forward with that situation, we had to get in touch with folks who do that, namely the Open Door. And so we were able to co-minister with the Open Door to help kind of work through that situation. Same with Friendship Lunch. We have lots of folks who come on foot and on bike. And so we're preparing for 150 meals today, but will we have that many? We don't know, because if it was hard for you and I to get to church in on the dialer ride or in a car, imagine if you're coming on bike or if you're coming on foot. And so knowing that so many of our folks come on foot, we started a ministry one Sunday with a constituent from our church, and he did some bike repairs, and he was busy that whole time. So we are about understanding needs of our neighbors and meeting needs. So I would encourage you, if you know of a need, if you see something, if you experience something in our community, come and you think, hey, I can think of ways to support this. come to Jung, come to Bethany, come and talk to Natalie, and let's see if we can continue to love our neighbors as best we can. We're just coming off the Advent time when this kingdom of heaven and earth overlapped with Jesus coming, and we have his Holy Spirit to help this process through and to become more and more like Christ. And we want to do that through our service as one way. So just thank you from our community assistance team, from the Sunday Friendship Lunch team, for understanding what it means to truly love our neighbors. Amen.
Thank you so much, Amy. So from time to time, we'll continue to hear these kinds of, you know, stories from our church. And also I want to invite you to participate in one of the missions we have at our church. There are a lot of opportunities you can join the mission through our church. So please think about, if you do not know, just come to me and ask me, and I will let you know. So thank you so much, Amy. Yeah, and why don't we stand up and let us greet one another?
let us stand and sing number 600 in our hymnals. I think we have the wrong words on the screen up there, so we're going to go with what's in the hymnal today. Number 600.
Continue standing for the call to worship. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it.
Thanks be to God for the living Word, the Word made flesh, and the Word of God recorded as whole scripture.
May Almighty God, the living and loving Word, who knows all and sees all, cleanse our hearts and minds, thereby drawing us closer to him and to our neighbor in Christian love. Thank you. You may be seated.
Sorry, took that. Please be seated too literally. If the children could join us. This is a very special day in the life of our church. It has been a long tradition to give third graders Bibles, and that hasn't happened for a while, but it's happening today, and we're doing some catching up. So I'm going to hand you your Bible, and would you please go and stand on the first platform? If you don't get a Bible, you hang out with me. Blake? and Gracelyn and Katie and Weston. Okay. Pastor Bethany is going to talk to you, and just so the parents know, there'll be some cleanup after the Bible presentation, and then we're going to all stay in worship until after the doxology, because these children have been learning the Lord's Prayer and the doxology, so we're going to participate with you all this morning. So just a heads up.
Good morning, guys. I am so excited that you guys are getting Bibles today. That makes me so happy. I want to tell you a little bit about what your Bible is wrapped in, because there's some special things about that. So you'll notice that your Bible is wrapped in brown paper. The brown paper reminds us that the Bible is a really old book. You can go ahead and tear that wrapping off. And there's a few more layers. The stories that were told in this book were told before most people could write. Yes, ma'am.
You guys gotta tear that wrapping off and throw it on the floor.
And next, you'll see it's wrapped in a comic strip. That is a reminder that the Bible is a book of some of the best stories in the world. And you know, something about the stories that are written here that's so important, so, so important, is that these were stories that actually happened. The Old Testament and the New Testament, this is the living Word of God. And so we believe these stories to be true and to be trustworthy. Go ahead and unwrap that one. The gold wrapping, got it, Weston? The gold wrapping symbolizes how valuable this book is, because it is more precious than gold, and it is the most important book that we could ever read. You can go ahead and unwrap it. And the last layer is white, because this helps us to remember that this book is an inspired book. The Lord inspired people to write down what was in this book. And there is no other book quite like it. You can go ahead and unwrap it. This book helps us to know who God is and helps us to know what He wants us to do. It is so, so special.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tyler and Transit Choir. Would you please, you know, bow your head and join me in the prayer? Dear most gracious God, we give thanks to you for calling us to be your kingdom family on earth. You have built your family, Midland First, with your constant love, unceasing patience, and burning heart for all nations and people, to renew the world in their salvation and knowledge of who you are as Redeemer. God, we pray that we can be used for the nations as your proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. God, forgive us our sins of negligence, ignorance, and unwillingness to know the needs of our neighbors. Also, God, forgive us for not depending on you wholeheartedly. There have been times when we behave as if we were the owner of our lives, instead of asking you for your guidance to become your means of grace to others. Forgive our sins. We remember the people who are suffering in the world through wars, natural disasters, sickness, brutal regimes, and persecution. God, awaken us so that we can participate in your suffering with them. We pray for their restoration, healing, and freedom. Use their suffering to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. We remember the sorrow and pain of our church members who have lost their loved ones in the past weeks. Surround them with your peace and hope. Help them find your blessings through their loved ones. Also, we remember our church family who are planning to see their doctors and have a surgery soon. Help them find the reasons for their pains. Touch their hearts and bodies and strengthen them and heal them with your power. We pray that they can experience your special grace at this time. God, we are your family together on earth to reveal your glory to the world. God, show your presence to us, through us, and to our neighbors continually this year. Now we pray the prayer Jesus Christ has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to a time of offering. We really appreciate your continued support for the missions we have at our church. And as I shared with you in our announcements time, please find your own ministries at our church so that you can continually participate in God's kingdom mission together with us. And ushers, would you please come forward?
Thank you.
God, thank you so much for blessing our lives. And also, God, thank you so much for the faith we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on the cross. God, with that confidence in our faith in you, we give these offerings to you, God. Please, God, these are our token of our commitment to you and our love for you, Lord. Please use them for your kingdom and for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear God, we are in your presence, and also we open our hearts toward you, Lord. Please, God, speak to our hearts, and we will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm so glad we all made it to church, you know, this morning. When I came to the church building, you know, this morning, I, you know, couldn't find Tom Strauss, because he was out there to clean the, you know, snow. And, you know, there was a guy from the city hall who cleaned our parking lot so that we can park our car out there. I was so appreciate what he did for us. So remembering our worship service every Sunday morning, there are a lot of people who are doing their roles behind the scenes. That is one of the reasons why we can appreciate what God is doing in our lives through those heroes, you know, behind the scenes. Even though we do not know all of them, why don't we have time to, you know, give them a round of applause? You know? Today is the first Sunday of our new sermon series, The Means of Grace. Have you ever heard the phrase means of grace? Just raise your hands. Yes. Okay. And as we are in the first, you know, month of 2024, it is very appropriate, you know, for us to think about our spiritual practices that can help us grow in God's grace, you know, this year. Why the means of grace? The means of grace have been understood as a way for Christians to experience God's love, the Wesleyan way, which is a way to grow in God's grace and experience continued renewal in our lives, and a way to achieve Christian sanctification. In a nutshell, to be transformed, we have to intentionally, seriously practice the means of grace. Some say that the means of grace are the means of joy in God. Some also say that they are the means of healing. Let me quote John Wesley on this from his 1749 sermon, The Means of Grace. By means of grace, I understand outward signs, words, and or actions ordained of God and appointed for this end to be the ordinary channels whereby he might convey to men preventing, justifying, and sanctifying grace. The chief of these means our prayer, whether in secret or with the great congregation, searching the scriptures, which implies reading, hearing, and meditating thereon, and receiving the Lord's Supper, eating bread and drinking wine in remembrance of him. And these we believe to be ordained of God as the ordinary channels of conveying his grace to the souls of men. The means of grace are concrete spiritual disciplines set apart by God as the most reliable and effective plan for all, effective way we receive prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying grace, so that we can be transformed to be more like Jesus Christ and can participate in the power of God's redemptive plan for all nations. By doing so, we can enjoy God's power of healing, joy, and salvation in our lives. The transformation of the world starts in us, in our relationship with God, in our transformation in God's grace. The Word of God is the most important means of grace. Have you ever heard the scholar's name, Albert Adler? Just raise your hand. Yes, I can see two hands. Now you are hearing his name, you know, today in this sermon, Albert Adler. His nickname is Mr. Methodist. Albert Adler was one of the renowned Wesley scholars in the mid 20th century. He was the one who coined the phrase the Wesleyan quadrilateral in 1964. Have you ever heard the phrase Wesleyan quadrilateral? Just raise your hand. Yeah, I can see more hands. I'm so glad about that. Wesleyan quadrilateral. According to him, John Wesley used four different sources in coming to theological conclusions. First one is scripture, tradition, and experience, and finally reason. He used these four things to make a conclusion about anything in the world. However, it is a way to answer questions about Christian belief and practice. If you face some difficulties to figure out what is the, you know, will of God, how the Bible or how the, you know, intention of God can we tell, then just, you know, use your reason, tradition, and experience and scripture so that you can understand better the will of God towards those specific issues. However, Albert Adler regretted coining the phrase the Wesleyan quadrilateral because of people's misconception of putting the same weight of importance on tradition, reason, experience, and scripture. This is what he said. The term quadrilateral does not occur in the Wesley corpus. And more than once, I have regretted having coined it for contemporary use, since it has been so widely misconstrued. Also, he said this. The next slide. There is one phrase I wish I had never used, the Wesleyan quadrilateral. It has created a wrong image in the minds of so many people, and I'm sure will lead to all kinds of controversy. Albert Adler wanted the scripture to be viewed as the centerpiece from which the other sources are suspended. C.S. Lewis, who was a British writer, literary scholar, and Anglican lay theologian, and he had academic positions both in Oxford and Cambridge universities. And this is what he said: "What we are committed to believing is whatever can be proved from Scripture." And also he said, the next slide, I take it as a first principle that we must not interpret any one part of Scripture so that it contradicts other parts. He also took the Bible as the supremacy resource over other things. So as we consider the Word of God as the most important means of grace, we should remember the following three lessons all the time. The first one is this: please know that God's intention for your lives is your transformation. God's intention for your lives is your transformation. God is working on you to transform you through the life events you are experiencing now. And God is using His Word for that purpose. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." The Word of God reveals our innermost feelings, hidden motivations, and all the things that are not according to God's will. Why? God wants us to be transformed in our heart and in the ways we are living. We can be cleansed, purified, challenged, motivated, and transformed in God's Word. Can you say amen to that? Amen. This is because the Word of God is alive and powerful. That is why we must review our mind through the lens of God's Word. And we have to pray this prayer all the time: God, open my eyes to see the wonderful truth in your instructions. Please allow yourselves to spare time and read and study the Word of God intentionally and honestly. Let me quote Howard Hendricks. He says, "God wants to communicate with you in the 21st century. He wrote His message in a book. He asked you to come and study that book for three compelling reasons. It's essential for growth. It's essential for maturity. It's essential for equipping you, training you, so that you might be an available, clean, sharp instrument in His hands to accomplish His purposes. So the real question confronting you now is, how can you afford not to be in God's Word?" Secondly, please believe in the power of God's Word for your life and make it yours by obeying it. Believe in the power of God's Word for your life and make it yours by obeying it. When I got married, I received a special gift and letter from a U.S. Army chaplain. His name was Hardy M. Higgins. He was a United Methodist chaplain from the Oklahoma Conference. During my mandatory military service in South Korea, I worked together with the U.S. soldiers as a chaplain assistant, and he was my chaplain. In his letter, he advised me to read Psalm 119 with my wife during my honeymoon days. So Somi and I, not knowing that the Psalm 119 has 176 verses, on the first night of our honeymoon, we read carefully the whole chapter together. In the beginning, realizing it is the longest chapter in the Bible, we were kind of bored. But we got more, you know, serious about this reading. And then we could sense that the Chaplain Higgins wanted us to base our life marriage on the scripture. That was the reason why he advised me to read Psalm 119 with my wife, Somi. Let me quote some verses from Psalm 119. I rejoice in the following of statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I delight in your decrees. I will not forget your word. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. Great peace have they who love your law. I'd like to encourage you to read Psalm 119 this week, and also with your spouse. You will easily find these words there: joy, peace, freedom, hope, and comfort. All these words in Psalm 119 are used with the verb obey. This means when we obey the word of God, we can enjoy hope, comfort, freedom, delight, and peace in our lives. Also, we will hear the repeated message in Psalm 119. Even though my life is struggling with illness, attacked by my enemies, and in a difficult, challenging situation, I never forget to obey God's word. So God, help me. You will find this message repeatedly in Psalm 119. That is why the last verse of the psalm finishes with this, you know, words. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek out your servant, for I do not forget your commandment. God, I'm struggling. I'm in a very serious, difficult situation. Please, God, know that I obey your word. Help me. I hope this will be your prayer for this year when you face difficulties in your lives. Last but not least, in your obedient heart, there is the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. In your obedient heart, there is the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. One of the questions I constantly hear from our congregation is this: Pastor Yom, how can I experience God in my life? How can I know God is with me? When we obey God's word faithfully and do the right things before God, God is with us. And through us, with the people around us. Our obedience to God and doing good to others are keys to experiencing God in our lives. Let me quote Brother Lawrence. He says, Men invent means and method of coming at God's love. They learn rules and set up devices to remind them of that love. And it seems like a world of trouble to bring oneself into the consciousness of God's presence. Yet, it might be so simple. It is not quicker and easier just to do our common business wholly for the love of Him. Thus, we put His consecration upon all we lay our hands to, at the same time establishing communion of our hearts with His, summoning the sense of His abiding presence. When we do our common business, in our obedience to God, and there you can find God's presence. I hope and pray that this year, in our lives, together, through Middle and First, we can experience the power of God's presence in our lives together, as we do the common business for our neighbors. Amen, amen, amen. The Holy Spirit has two wings, a wing of prayer and a wing of God's word. Also, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love, which reflects the essence of God. If we are in the power of God's word, we are in God's loving presence and desire to pray for God's will in God's loving presence. Let me summarize my sermon today for you. Please know, God's desire for your transformation. God is working on you. The Word of God will shape you to taste and enjoy freedom, joy, healing, comfort, and peace from God. Obey God's word, and you can find and participate in God's presence. Let me share with you a story this morning as I'm closing my sermon. In 1998, I wanted to discern God's will for my life. After being released from my mandatory military service in South Korea, I was uncertain about God's calling to ministry. So I went to Jesus Abbey in Taebaek, South Korea. To stay there, I had to participate in their daily routines, early morning prayer time, worship time, and communion meal, and also manual work. I did these things every day, and in the evening, I could spare more time to read the Bible and meditate on the Bible and pray. I don't know why, but God gave me a mind to read the book of Romans while I was praying. That was my first time in my life to discern God's will through the Bible while I was praying. On the third day of my stay there, I reached Romans chapter 12. Romans 12:15 in particular caught my heart, which says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." I felt amazed because my prayer was, "God, are you calling me into your ministry as a pastor?" And His answer was, "You become a pastor like this. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice." From time to time, I come back to Romans chapter 12 and try to confirm my calling from God. Then I can find peace from God. And sometimes I feel re-energized because in God's word, there is a healing power. God's word is given to us to transform us so that we can be the reflection of God's joy peace, comfort, and love to the people around us. That is why we have to open the Bible, read the Bible, meditate on the Bible, and study the Bible, apply the Bible lessons to our lives. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we are in the middle of January, and we had a chance to, this morning to think about the reason why we have your word. God, please help us to read your word and help us to depend on your word. By doing so, God, help us to reveal who you are to the people around us continually. Let us enjoy the blessings when we read and study your word together. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Like you. This song is our theme song for this sermon series. We're going to, sing this song every Sunday before our Lenten season. Sisters and brothers, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can be continually shaped for the glory of our God. Now go in peace. Amen.